This Hour of the Jason Rancho is brought to you by 3010weightlossforlife.com. Lots of news is happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? A Jason Rant exclusive.
This is the type of story I would normally start off by printing over at ktth.com. But in this case, there were some sensitivities from the editorial department on my decision to name this teacher, which I think is an important part of this conversation, since everything I'm about to tell you in this exclusive has been confirmed. And so I hope that you will pay close attention to these details, because normally when you throw in some very specific details on the radio and you don't have any reference point to go off of in the future, you might get some things wrong. So it's important to understand what this story is about. This story is about a teacher who has been disciplined by her school district because she first posted a social media commentary depicting a disturbing conversation that she said she had with students. Now, when I first saw this, I wondered to myself, okay, is this a conversation she actually had, or is she doing something kind of tongue-in-cheek online? The district confirmed to me that she has admitted to the conversation as she depicted in her Facebook post. This teacher's name is Casey Anderson. She is a science teacher at Anacortes High School. And when parents saw what she said she did, they were understandably outraged. She had a conversation that was sexual in nature, making references specifically to anal sex. Implications, at least. And immediately, students and parents took a screenshot. It got spread around. It somehow got to the district via all of these complaints. And bam, this teacher gets reprimanded. The question then becomes, should this teacher have been fired? Now, I've got the screenshot in front of me. It was posted on March 5th. And it kind of starts out in a very ironic way. She starts it off by saying, "The most recent entry into things Ms. Anderson will hear about from HR." Kind of implying there's a lot more entries into that list of things that might get her in trouble with HR. Now, in this post, she features a photograph of a tissue dispenser that looks like a cat. It's a cat character tissue dispenser. And the tissues are dispensed through the cat's backside, which kind of tells you a lot about the sense of humor of this teacher, who's a high school teacher. These aren't like kindergarten kids. And she writes, quote, "So in my room," picture attached, "I have a cat butt tissue dispenser. Currently, the dispenser is out of tissues." And in the photograph, you see this cat tissue dispenser without any tissues in it on her desk in her class. She said in this post that a student noticed that there were no tissues in the tissue dispenser and then decided to ask her how she refills it. At that point, she says she addresses the class, not just the student, but the class. She writes, "I pause for a moment, then tell my class," quote, "I turn down the lights, put on some soft music, and use a lot of Vaseline. I may have them retrieve a big container of petroleum jelly I had in my closet for reasons and placed it right by the cat." Class took a turn after that. That's disturbing. That is a disturbing conversation or joke, whatever you want to call it, to make towards your class. That's disturbing. And understandably, parents complain to the school, a number of them. And apparently, Casey Anderson, this teacher, is Facebook friends with students. That, according to a student and a father, haven't heard back yet from this teacher to confirm that. I reached out to the school district and said, "Were you guys aware of this? What's going on here?" And a spokesperson for the district responded, "We conducted an investigation and formally reprimanded the teacher. This behavior is unacceptable and not tolerated by the district. The spokesperson then continued, "We received several complaints from parents. The formal reprimand becomes a part of an employee's personnel file. We're working with the employee to ensure that professional standards are met in the future." This apparently was the first time this had happened to Casey Anderson. Now, I hope at some point she responds to my request for comment. I'm not going to hold my breath. I think a reasonable person can look at this and say this is clearly inappropriate. It is an inappropriate post on Facebook if students saw it. And again, I'm told students did since they were the ones who took the screenshot. But that she confirmed to the district, according to the district, that that conversation took place the way she had written about it on Facebook, I think that that's arguably a fireable offense. And I say arguably because was this truly the first time she's done something like this? There's certainly first-time offenses that should result in a firing. Does this one get to that point? I don't know. It certainly crosses a line. It's certainly inappropriate. Taking out Vaseline and talking about it in that, really? Why would you think that that's appropriate in the classroom? Seriously, why would you think that that is appropriate in the classroom? Now, I've also heard some other things about this teacher that, because I cannot confirm, I'm not going to just dive into. But it gave me the impression that she has a tendency to speak up in ways that are not necessarily appropriate, depending on, I guess, your own sensibilities, if those comments are true that I was told. And by the way, I don't know how my information got out there, but I got like 3 or 4 emails last night from parents, all basically saying the same thing about conduct. I don't know about that, and I'll look into it, and I'll see what I can find. This, however, is confirmed by the school district. I'm curious whether or not you think this is the kind of conduct. Let's just assume for the sake of the argument, because it is the first time she's been reprimanded, so let's be fair. If this is the first time something like this has happened, do you believe this is a fireable offense? Push aside any sort of political belief or, you know, social belief about sex. Push all that aside for a moment. In the context of this being the only time something like this has happened, do you give her a pass with a warning? Or do you say, nope, this is way too over the line. You need to be canned for this. Send me a text. I'm genuinely curious because as someone who doesn't have kids, it obviously doesn't have the same impact on me. Although, again, it clearly goes over the line in my view. I don't know, however, if I would fire her. I definitely wouldn't just do a reprimand. I would do at least a suspension because she's back in the classroom, I'm told, as of today. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text. 1-800-465-8770. Send me your text message. I'd be curious to find out from the parents out there whether or not you think that this teacher should have been fired as a result of this conduct that, again, the district has said happened, and she admits it. 1-800-465-8770. I'm also really curious when she says this is the most recent entry into the things Ms. Anderson will hear about from HR. What else is in that little entry book, that little notebook of all the things you've done, the slights? What else could possibly be, or do I want to know? Maybe I don't want to know. Brady, who's filling in for Peyton, is saying, yeah, don't even ask. Don't ask for the photos. Don't ask for any screenshots. Just move on. Just move on. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send a text. Push the button. Find me on Twitter, twitter.com/JasonRants, twitter.com/JasonRants. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? International.
So the former ambassador to Russia, Michael McFaul, this is a Democrat, was on MSNBC this morning. And he was talking about the calls for a no-fly zone. And we keep hearing from some outlets that people here on the ground are starting to say, yeah, maybe we should be doing a no-fly zone. Why wouldn't we want to do a no-fly zone? And I have no doubt that there are a lot of people who are saying just that without realizing that that is a declaration of war. The concept of should we do something to protect Ukraine from missiles and fighter jets to just sort of even out this war without, quote unquote, directly getting involved. That makes sense until you realize that is legitimately directly getting involved, which was a point that McPaul made.
If the American people want to go to war with Russia, I think it would be a mistake. But if we're prepared to do it, then we should have a vote in the U.S. Congress, because the Congress is supposed to declare war. That's what we need to do first. We should stop calling it a no-fly zone, and we should start calling it declaration against Russia to go to war. And I just don't think that's the right thing to do right now.
If you explain to the people who believe this is the right move, that this is a declaration of war, do they hold the exact same position? And my sense is they would say no. Because I don't know anyone who has the stomach for a war, period. But they definitely don't have the stomach for a war that we would voluntarily get into. Russia voluntarily got into this war with Ukraine. Ukraine can be helped by the United States directly without us going to war as well. If we declare war, guess what happens? China then gets involved on the side of Russia. Russia's army we could defeat probably pretty easily based on their performance so far against Ukraine. But remember, Russia has a lot of nuclear weapons, which is why we would not want to get into war with them. But doing so will probably strengthen their relationship, their allyship, that's sort of right now casual and sort of off the books, with China, which is very, very, very powerful. Technologically, militarily, they are very, very strong. And while I have no doubt that the men and women who fight for this country would do their very best, I do worry about our readiness based upon the last year of watching all of those videos for recruitment ads going after people who are gender non-binary, who have sensory disorders, and who have anxiety issues on top of that. Come to us. We will be here for you. This is a new military. We got rid of all that toxic masculinity, the kind that usually could win wars. We got rid of that. Now, even though they've only been doing this for about a year, although a lot of the wokeness, to be clear, started under Donald Trump. He didn't want it, but it was happening then. To be clear, for that to have a true cultural shift within our military, it takes a very long time. It takes a very long time. But I don't like the fact that it's already been introduced. It's been certainly very strong for a year. And I don't necessarily trust some of the generals who would be in charge of our military personnel. I have no problem with the troops. I think they would do a kick-ass job. And if it ever came to the United States, our friend Bryce Mitchell from UFC, he's got something to say about it. But I don't want to invite war on us. Even if we had a foe that we would beat within an hour, and we were confident in that, it was guaranteed, I still don't want to go to war. I don't want to see people die. But I don't think people are truly thinking this through. And to be fair to them, it's not like I blame them. I understand why someone might not believe this to be a declaration of war, but it is. And as he says in this interview, which is the only thing that was worth watching on MSNBC today, at least the 3 minutes of which I saw, he goes, remember, to install this no-fly zone and implement it, that's an American jet shooting down a Russian jet. That's war. A war we do not want. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Let's get political.
So Robert Sutherland is the state representative from Granite Falls, friend of the show. Turns out he's being investigated to see whether or not he violated the legislature's code of conduct after he's accused of swearing and berating the House Chief of Security. Why did that happen? Well, because Sean Harstock, who's the Chief of Security, according to Sutherland, wouldn't let him into his office because Sutherland didn't present a negative COVID test that we're pretending is necessary for him to get into his office at the Capitol. So the Everett Herald reports that Sutherland and Hartsock became embroiled in a heated exchange Saturday as the lawmaker sought access to the legislative building because he was barred from his office for not taking a required COVID test. There was no one with him. There was no one around him. There was no threat of spread. He was fine. And he wasn't allowed to do his job as a lawmaker. By gaining access to his office, he got mad. And he admits he got mad. He admits he threw a F-bomb at the guy? Because he gave a speech to the rally that was there over the weekend, very close to when it happened.
I got locked out of the building because I didn't get tested for COVID. I don't have COVID.
I like the guy. That's outrageous. That sounded like a totally organic response. Because usually, whoa-boo, or the jeers, like, oh, no, 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 you can't really make, that's outrageous. That was like a guttural reaction.
I'm healthy. You can't keep the people's representatives from working. And then they almost arrested me about an hour ago. The sergeant of arms, excuse my French, but I looked at him and I said, you.
Okay. That was not French.
You're not going to shut us down.
So a very fired up Robert Sutherland never gets that upset and passionate on the show. I mean, I don't deny him entry to something he should have the right to get entry to, but still.
Yeah, and it makes my job even funnier when I have to edit that stuff out.
Yeah. So he explained from his perspective what had happened. He told the Herald that he was sorry that he dropped the F-bomb if it offended people. It does not offend anyone, let's be honest. But he said, I'm not going to apologize to the guy. Quote, there were some expletives shared by the two of us. I'm willing to shake his hand and say we had a bad day. We both could have handled it better. That's good enough for me. But they're going to investigate. Because he might have violated the code of conduct that says you have to be very polite. According to the chief clerk of the House of Representatives, we take this situation seriously in terms of him yelling obscenities at a staff member. That would be a serious breach of the respectful workplace policy and code of conduct. We only permit Republicans to be called fascists and Nazis who want to kill people. But how dare he? No, I'm kidding. He didn't say that last part. But that's kind of the truth, isn't it? How often have we heard Republicans in this place that were supposed to be respectful of one another get called murderers or Nazis or fascists? We had Jay Inslee just the other day claim falsely, like this was a lie, saying that Republicans tried to ban people from wearing a mask and stop people from gaining access to vaccines because Republicans wanted them to die. That was what Jay Inslee said. Is that a respectful comment? Or is that just a bold-faced lie? Now, at the same time, this conduct does not look good. It's not a good look for Sutherland or for Republicans. I don't use this to paint a picture of the Republican Party or the Republican caucus, but that's because I'm not a bad faith partisan activist or journalist. They do exist, and they will use this. It is unfair that there are a different set of rules that are applied to Republican lawmakers. It is not fair. But that is the state in which we live and right now the country that we live. Things that we do, things that Republican lawmakers do, will be used to paint the broadest of broad brushes of other Republicans or other lawmakers. And so we have to keep that in mind as we move forward. Which is very funny because most of the Democratic Party comes out and says, defund police, but then you can't say all Democrats want to defund the police. It is ludicrous, but it is unfortunately the reality. We've been getting a lot of text messages on the Anacortes teacher. Some say, absolutely fire that teacher, 100%. She has no boundaries and should not be teaching children of any age. Then we have another one who says, inappropriate. But if it's the first offense, don't fire. Someone said this is not the first incident. It's just the first time she's been reprimanded. And then finally, I agree that the teacher's behavior is very inappropriate, but with regard to whether she should be fired, depends. Depends on the rules and regulations published by the school. I think she should be fired, but the discipline should be consistent with the policies and rules she agreed to abide by in accepting the position. That's a very sensible position that I will reject because this is talk radio. I want just all you fire her or no, give her a medal. Just you be a little bit more extreme. None of this. We should follow the rules. I'm kidding. 1-800-465-877 if you want to send me a text message. Right now, let's get you home the right way with Right Way Traffic.
Tacoma, Bremerton, Bothell.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Rant Show.
Redmond, Sumner, Kent.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, it's 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. That means it's time for the Big Local, brought to you by Alpine Specialty Services, online at alpineclean.com. This is the part of the show where we completely ignore stories coming out of Seattle, and instead we focus all of our attention on the communities you live in and care about most. And we start in Edmonds, where the school district says it is lifting its indoor and outdoor mask mandate for their schools for the district starting on Monday. They have also joined the bandwagon of doing what's right for kids, which is, look, sometimes we have to give credit where credit's due, especially when these people have been hurting kids actively by keeping them out of the class and keeping them in masks unnecessarily. Good for you for doing the right thing. Here's a high five. Or we can't touch each other yet because that could spread COVID, apparently, even though it can't. But okay, fine. Beggars can't be choosers here. I'll take this as a win. I do recall folks saying, especially from the teachers' unions, kids actually want to wear the mask. Okay, well, then they can continue to wear the mask if they want. Something tells me, though, when given the choice as to whether or not they're going to wear a useless cloth mask, which truly is useless, look at the data, coming from the CDC. But something tells me they are going to ditch the masks. And here's what I want every single parent who's got a kid right now who will be in school on Monday at a school that is allowing your kid to take off the mask. I want you to make sure in the conversations you have with them, now that you know the threat of CRT, now that you know the threat of all the nonsense on gender, add to the list of conversation topics whether or not they're getting bullied or pressured into wearing a mask by their teacher or by the principal. Because I've already spoken to someone today who texted me during this show. She's an AE who actually gives me a lot of the people that I talk about in my commercials. Thank you. She talked to me about how her kid is being pressured into wearing a mask already from teachers. And so in a world in which it's optional, make sure you have your kid's back. Now, if your kid wants to wear a mask or you want them to wear a mask, all good, and you shouldn't be bullied to take it off. If that's truly what you want, if you want to make your kid suffer needlessly, go ahead. I'm kidding. Well, okay, no, I'm kidding. Well, we'll pretend I'm kidding. How about that? Or no, we'll pretend I'm not kidding, but whatever. If that's your choice, go ahead and do it. But make sure you're not allowing your kid to be bullied into a decision, a medical decision that does not make sense for the kid, for you as the parent. And so make sure you're asking them about what's happening on campus. Is your teacher pressuring you into wearing a mask? Well, Johnny, I don't know why Johnny's always the name of the kid in my fake conversation. I don't know either. My name is Ryan. I'm sorry. Sorry, Ryan. Say hello, Ryan. I'm not little. I'm very tall for my age. I got it. Fine. Are you being bullied? Are you being pressured into this? And if they are doing that, I want you to let me know. I want you to let me know. Someone has to look out for these kids. You're the only person connected to them closely who will. And I will amplify your concerns if they happen. Hopefully I'm wrong. I want to be wrong. Whether it's Edmonds or Issaquah, whether it's in Tacoma or Kelso, Vancouver, Kennewick, wherever. I hope I am wrong. But as a talk show host, I'm never wrong, so just make sure you're keeping an ear out. Meanwhile, it's going to cost you $700 to park and ski at Crystal Mountain next season, which to me sounds insane, but I'm told that before Alterra Mountain Company bought the resort, the passes cost about $1,200. Now, Cairo 7 TV, God bless them, decided for some reason not to tell us the current price before the hike to $700. My assumption it's somewhere around $400 maybe. Whatever it is, it's now $700 to me, which seems very expensive for a season pass to go skiing. I'm not a skier. In fact, I don't know very many Jews who like to ski. I don't know if that's a Jewish thing or maybe in just my world of Jews, I've never met another Jew who's all like, I like the snow. Again, that could just be my experience. That could just be my close circle of Jewish friends that I've grown up with for a very long time and still have never met anyone who likes it. What are you giving me that look for? I feel like it's not a Jewish sport or some pastime.
I have no idea. I couldn't speak on that, but just you going off on it, like, I haven't heard of a single Jew that can do it.
I'm saying I don't understand it. My people don't fish. I don't understand that either.
Is that a fact? Or
I don't know. I'm just saying, based on my lived experiences. But apparently this is intentional, this price hike. They want to thin the crowds.
So that when you're at Crystal, you know, you're not waiting in line. You're not trying to find a parking spot.
Which, to me, makes sense. Spokesperson Vivica Stamoulias thought there was going to be a decline in pass purchases this past season because of COVID and the economy. But it turns out it was the opposite.
We're seeing this season what we thought would be a reduce in the number of pass purchases. We saw overwhelming demand.
Okay. They saw overwhelming demand, which means it's going to be difficult for you to have an enjoyable experience while you're there because you don't want the run to be crowded. You don't want to have to struggle for parking. I don't know why they don't just say, we want more money and we want less people. Deal with it. It's our business. And if you don't like it, buzz off. We want to invest into the property. We want better amenities. Just be honest about it. The whole idea of just, oh, you know, we want to thin out some of the crowds, which is true. But don't, you're positioning this as if you're only doing this for the benefit of the crowd. And I could just push back and say, well, then why don't you just limit the amount of passes you sell? Have a lottery system, have people sign up for a month, and then at the end of that month, sign up during the off season or the off snow, whatever you, however you refer to it, because again, my people don't understand these things, or I don't. Then you just say, okay, we're going to keep it at the 300 or whatever it currently is, and the first 100 random people we pick or 1,000, whatever it is, you get it there. Because if you truly didn't care about the money part, you would not have raised the prices. Because now all they've done is open themselves up to the woke scolds who are going to say, so now you've just made skiing an exclusive white person thing. Oh, you know what is as white supremacist as the snow? The leadership there. That's what they're going to do. They're going to say that this is only now for rich people.
I mean, the reporter did say that. She didn't include the white or white supremacist part.
Yeah, but that's what she meant. You don't have to say it. She's saying it's for white people.
It is a predominantly
It's for
white
rich white
sport.
People. That's what they're saying. And they've opened themselves up to it. This was the Crystal Mountain folks. They're the ones who did this. What's her name? Because you got mad that I said Vivica.
Vivica.
Okay, Vivica. Sorry. Here's an avid skier.
Dude, it just feels like a big jump. I kind of get the whole thing, and I love the whole development idea. I love the hotel.
So what is her position exactly, Cairo 7 TV? Because she starts off by saying, it seems like a steep jump, which sounds like a negative, but then immediately says, but I understand it. So what is her point? Is she for or against?
She is just passive aggressive.
Is that what it is? She's noncommittal? I can see both sides.
Why include that?
And a feature on television.
That's above my pay grade.
What value does that add?
Absolutely nothing.
I want a take. Pick a side. Don't care which. Pick a side. Argue it. And then I will either agree and say, ooh, that was a very interesting point. Or more likely say, well, that was stupid. Why'd they include that point? I know I can't allow these people to win ever. But still, well, I could see both sides. And then finally, one of the state lawmakers who created the police accountability laws, the police reimagining laws, which really are anti-police laws, he is stepping down. Jesse Johnson, the Federal Way state representative, Democrat, of course, is not seeking re-election. He just had a kid. His kid turned 6 months, wants to spend more time with his kid. Totally get it. Jesse Johnson came to Olympia. He made our communities less safe. He made policing more dangerous. He's done all that he can here. And now he's leaving us. Good riddance. He is a horrible lawmaker who has legitimately cost people their lives because of his horrible bills. No, I don't think he has blood on his hands. I don't like talking like that. But he made it easier for criminals to get away with their criminal behavior. That's on Jesse Johnson and the other Democrats who went along blindly with his ridiculous policies that we all were calling out at the time. He did it anyway. And then, rather than acknowledge that his policies and the Democrat policies caused all the problems that they caused, instead of acknowledging that they rushed it, he was like, oh no, you're just misinterpreting the law. I'm literally just reading it. It says you've banned the use of these firearms, which include non-lethal weapons. Well, I don't know why you would. It's in the bill. Oh, but that wasn't the intent. But is it in the bill? Well, yeah, but it wasn't the intent. But it's in the bill, right? So it's the law, right? And you want me to trust you as an officer to break your law because you say that's not the intent? That's not how laws work. So they tried to first pass it off like they didn't do anything wrong, and then they tried to quote-unquote fix, but they didn't do any fixes. So here's the deal. We get rid of a really bad lawmaker who's done a tremendous amount of damage. This is representing a city that is dealing with an explosion of crime. Federal Way, like so many other South Sound cities, are experiencing the crime surge that Seattle has been experiencing, that Tacoma is right now experiencing. It is no longer a sandwich of just like these peaceful cities right in the middle of the two bad ones. It is spreading because of your lawmaker. Make better choices. Make better choices. Don't know who the Republicans are going to push to take this spot over, but this should be a pickup if we choose the right politician. So we're going to get Caleb Heimlich on the line this week. He is, of course, the pride of Puyallup. He is the chairman of the Washington State Republican Party. We'll pick his brain. What's the plan here? This is a winnable seat. Let's get someone in there who will help in the next session after he steps down, after he's done. Let's get someone in there who's going to fix these truly awful anti-police bills. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text message right now. Traffic. Welcome back to the Jason Rantz Show. Earlier this morning, outside of City Hall in Seattle, police showed up early, caught Antifa and other activists off guard. They don't usually get out of bed until at least noon. They didn't realize what was going on, and before their comrades were able to get the first text out saying, oh my gosh, you'll never believe what's happening, the pigs are here, the police had taken over the area, cordoned it off, and allowed city crews to go in and clear out, finally, the encampment that really has been held hostage by these activists, refusing to let the city clean up. And I give a lot of credit to the Harrell administration on this one. He chose to do exactly what I said he should do, which is just take control, bring a lot of cops to the area, get it done. Anyone gets in the way, you arrest them. Now, I don't think anyone got in the way to the point of an arrest, although we did hear the normal stuff that we hear. You're all Nazis, calling cops Nazis and all sorts of names. Jonathan Cho was out there.
You all feel good about yourselves when you go home.
We're back at Denny Park.
And you sleep in your hot meal.
It's like, I had peanut butter and jelly last night, so, you know, why don't you shut up?
And you get your paycheck at the end of the week.
They don't know about that. No, they don't. You see, unlike you, they don't want to keep people living outside. They want to bring people inside and give them access to resources that will actually get their lives in order. Instead, you, what you do is not open up your mom's basement bedroom to these people. You want to keep them outside. You've got a bunk bed. You can have the homeless person you care so deeply about on the top bunk. He doesn't like to sleep on the top because he rolls over and might fall to the ground. He's scared of that. I get it. You've got space in your mom's home. So why not invite them over? You're living in the mother-in-law apartment attached to your parents' home in Kirkland. Why don't you invite them to hang out with you? You don't, do you? That manicured lawn, why don't you bring them there to set up camp? Why do you keep them on a sidewalk in front of City Hall while pretending to be the compassionate one? How dare you bring these people in? Now they have access to running water and heat? They have now access to case managers who can maybe get their lives in? How dare you, sir? You are a Nazi. That's what they did to the Jews. They gave them clean water and shelter. How dare you? You're just putting them in concentration camps. You're just like the Nazis. These people are, of course, insane. They're absolutely insane. They are life's losers. Let's be clear about who these people are, because we gave them for the longest time, and still in a lot of ways we still do, we give them so much power. We've ceded to them all of this power. The Harrell administration is new. He's never had to deal with this from the mayor's perspective before, but we gave them power to withhold the city from moving and clearing this encampment for over a week. It's a small group of them. They're all twerps. These are the, well, that one dude was like 400 pounds, but other than that guy, oh, I don't, actually, it might not have been a guy, to be honest. That one person, Zoo, or Sue, or Fair, whatever the new they, these are weaklings. They're not smart. They're not tough. They cover their face, not because of their fear of COVID, because of the fear that you might find out who they actually are. Why do they have so much power, more power than the rest of us, the ones who actually contribute to society, the ones who are trying to help people living out on the streets? Why do we give it to them? They tried to get in the face of Jonathan Cho, who I do like, although I will say I think he's hamming it up just a little bit here.
Like, just so you know, every single time anyone posts pictures of this person, it's just nonstop online harassment. So I hope that you know that.
Bro, get out of my face, man, all right?
Okay, you know, we're...
Get off my face.
Okay, so I will say, granted, I wasn't there and maybe below the... He did seem 3 feet away, and he wasn't getting in his face in a mean way at that point. And again, in fairness, Jonathan Cho does deal with those lunatics. This one, not quite that, right?
No, but I just love when he said, get off my face, as if he was like trying to actively get on it.
Yeah, he was. Now, it gets a little bit different, but so far, I'm going to say the guy was actually not all that bad. I mean, Jonathan himself has seen way worse. He's experienced way worse than this. Oh, another one's coming.
Housing shot. Like, why are you afraid?
Here, get this. Don't touch me, man. Don't touch me.
Oh my God. Both of you are
just... Now, that guy was trying to touch me. I don't know what he was trying to do, but that guy, you should call out. But not the first guy. We can be honest. I'm, you know. And if I'm being, it was me. I was the one who did it. I was there undercover. Going out. It's funny because they wear, he caught one of the dudes wearing an Antifa button to show how cool they are and how edgy they are. They're anti-fascist. Uh-huh. The anti-fascist keeping people living out on the streets. 1-800-465-8770. Send me your text messages. Back with more at the top of the hour.